This is the Coach's Ally Podcast, helping with personal brand, advancing careers, and elevating the coaching experience. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Kelsey. I'm the host of the Coach's Ally Podcast. Our guest is Molly Fletcher. Molly runs a consultant company in Atlanta, Georgia. She works with Fortune 500 companies, CEOs. She does private coaching. She works with college teams, professional sports teams. She works with coaches at both of those levels. She does team building. She has an unbelievable website that you need to subscribe to and get on her mailing list or email list. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But has a great mind for brand marketing for coaches. That would be one of the areas we'll focus on today. Molly, thanks so much for being part of our show.
Oh, it's an honor. Thanks so much, Tom.
Molly, one of our goals here at the Coaches Ally is to help coaches with their personal brand. And I think some of us still in the profession, we may not know exactly what that term means. So when you're working with a coach, how do you explain and how do you get across teaching them about personal branding and what exactly that can mean to a coach's career?
Well, there's a quote, you know, that I love, and it, to me it's a little bit analogous to the personal brand. And to me it's what others say when you leave the room. And I think a good way for coaches to think about it is that way, right? So when you get up and walk out of an athletic director's office or a job interview, you know, what do they say when you leave? And I think in some ways that's sort of the definition. I don't like to think of a personal brand as something that's artificial or, you know, constructed. To me, it's the impression that you leave. It's when you meet and greet a donor, when you sit in a kid's living room that you're recruiting, you know, what do they say when you leave? And to me, that's what you stand for, and in many ways, your personal brand.
That being said, a lot of times I would think that's something that we're born with, but can I improve my personal brand, or can we as coaches, can we improve our personal brand? And if so, how do we do that?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think it starts with self-awareness, right? You know, what are your values? What are your unique gifts? You know, to me, it's a coach asking themselves, you know, what are you most passionate about? What differentiates you from everybody else? And if you're not sure, ask others that you trust for their feedback. But having clarity at a high level and sort of that self-awareness to me is the starting point. And then it allows you to make sure that that aligns with and helps you determine, you know, what you say yes to and more importantly, in many ways, what you say no to. And from there, that sort of offsets into sort of, you know, communicating your personal brand from an external perspective. But, you know, there is no question, coaches, I've seen it with athletes, broadcasters, can improve their personal brand, but it starts with self-awareness and it starts with being intentional about making that shift in an authentic way.
Give me, if you could, or give our audience some examples of somebody that you really had to adjust their public brand and help them out in that area.
Yeah, I think you see that a lot, you know, oftentimes in a couple ways. One is when there's a crisis, right? When something happens in the public world that is seen and viewed and, you know, the athlete or the coach needs to make a shift, right? You know, we saw it with Michael Vick. We've seen it with lots of players and athletes and certainly even coaches. But I've had coaches had to make that shift before. I've had coaches take jobs and then turn them down. And so how do you reconnect with the fans at the team that you're you know, that you walked away from? How do you reconnect with the fans of the team or the university that you stayed with? And so to me, my personal opinion on it is you have to be human. You have to be real. You have to be authentic. You have to be honest. You have to be quick and swift with the way that you make a shift in a brand, particularly inside a crisis. You know, my rule inside a kind of crisis management with the athletes and coaches that I've worked with as an agent in the past and now, obviously, I'm not in that role as an agent and spend most of my time, you know, speaking and doing team building with sports teams. But my philosophy inside of crisis was tell the truth, tell it fast, and tell it yourself. And then when you're not inside a crisis, you know, how do you shift that brand And can you, and have I had athletes and coaches do that? Absolutely. And again, that starts with that self-awareness and starts with being intentional about making that shift. And it starts with leaning on people that know you really well and that you trust and that have no agenda, which, as many of us know, you know, coaching for coaches, that's really hard. It's hard to find people that you can lean on, that you can ask for honest feedback and get that honest advice. And in many ways, Tom, I bet that's what you are doing, and an awesome way that you can support these coaches is you can give them authentic feedback with no agenda, but simply the agenda being to help them advance in their coaching career, which is awesome.
Well, I love what you said about tell the truth, tell it right away, because I think we've seen, as especially in the basketball realm, we've seen coaches get in trouble and then come back and tell the truth later and had to, you know, make up for what their story was, and so that hurt them as well. But is social media really that important for a coach to a team or somebody? He makes it really to a higher level. So if I'm an aspiring coach, do I think, you know, is this stuff really important? Because what if I'm going to make it to the big time? I'm going to be a big time coach. That social media stuff, is that really important to me?
Yeah, I mean, so every coach has their own opinion on social media, certainly. But I personally think that it is a great way to connect in the industry and certainly with the athletes. You know, it's where so much of the conversation is taking place. And, you know, it's just as good even as a listening tool, as it's really kind of an external communication tool. But you can listen even if you don't want to talk on social media. One of the guys I worked with forever is Tom Izzo. And, you know, he is not a fan of social media, but he can still listen and connect through social media, even though he may not want to post anything. But I encourage coaches, you know, who are trying to build their teams, their fan base, and even certainly their own brand, to be a part of the social media movement. And because there is a profound conversation happening there that I think if a coach isn't a part of, they're missing an opportunity to connect. So I think it's incredibly important. You know, it's another way to tell your story, you know, your team story, your program story. But the key is, obviously, with anything, I strongly believe you have to be engaged and you have to be consistent.
What are some misconceptions we might have about social media?
You know, that it's a waste of time. I mean, I think I hear coaches say that, right? This is a waste of time. But it's all about how you approach it and you use it to your advantage to connect. But it's like anything in life. I mean, you have to manage your energy around it. You've got to manage your time around it. But it is an important part, and it certainly isn't going away. In fact, it's just becoming, you know, a bigger part of our world, and certainly the youth that they're trying to put on the court to win basketball games, it's an incredibly large part of their world.
Let's go back to what you said earlier. You talked about that brand, and when I leave, or that client leaves the room with that athletic director, and he makes that impression, but before that, how does that coach set themselves apart? How do you advise a coach to set themselves apart with their presentation when they're going for a job? Or is that possible? Again, is that something that's kind of innate? And how do you advise a client, you know, again, before they leave that office with that president or leave that office with that AD?
Yeah, so to me, the meeting starts before you get there, right? So you've got to be incredibly prepared. I believe that coaches need to be incredibly prepared. I had an assistant coach one time going up for an assistant job in the NBA, and he was, you know, pretty pumped. It was a big move for him. It was an upward move, and he was really excited for the opportunity to go, you know, be an assistant coach at a team that he had really always aspired to be a part of. And it was a great opportunity. It was bringing him home. It was all those things. And he was going to interview for the assistant coach's job. And we told him he was interviewing for the head job. And it was pretty funny because as he prepared and walked in, he prepared with the mindset of being the head guy. And it was pretty awesome because the impact was he was incredibly prepared. He approached it certainly as a guy who could take the reins. As a guy that was very aware of the current situation, both from a salary cap perspective, the roster, the inner workings of the team, the dynamics, both from ownership all the way down to, you know, the last guy on the bench. So he was very, very prepared. So I think at the core, when coaches come into these opportunities, preparation starts well before, you know, the opportunity inside of that actual room becomes a reality. And then obviously when they're in there, I think, you know, they've got to walk that fine line of being confident, being ready, right, owning the room. But they've also got to be humble and curious enough that it gives them an opportunity to connect and learn. You know, every day I believe we can all learn, whether it's, you know, whether you're inside of an interview or you're actually, you know, the guy, right, or the girl, that's the actual leader. So, you know, preparation to me would be sort of the word that comes to mind inside of that. Any of the coaches that we've had that have gone for other jobs, I think it's important they're prepared. But, you know, nowadays, right, you can find out so much about the people that you're connecting with well in advance of that actual connection. So, you know, they're interviewing you as much as you're interviewing them, obviously, you know, when you walk into that room.
Recently, I think it was back in the spring, you had one of your blogs, and as coaches, we love the backstory, and you gave a little bit of a backstory about Coach Donovan, Billy Donovan, when he turned down the Orlando Magic job. And I thought you worded it so well. You talked about how he didn't have the difficult conversation.
Yeah, so actually it was a difficult conversation that I didn't have with him, that we as an agency didn't have with him, not necessarily what he didn't do. What happened was, as I reflected on that situation, right, so to refresh sort of the listener's memory, you know, he was the head coach at Florida, interviewed for the Magic's job, accepted the job, and then the next day after the press conferences, pulled back and said, hey, I don't want that job. And as I reflected on that, what came up for me was, gosh, you know what, we, as his agents, didn't ask him the tough questions around things like, hey, you know, look, I mean, if you don't win basketball games in the NBA after a couple of years, you're going to get fired. You know, what does that look like? Are you ready for that, right? Are you ready to walk into the AD at Florida, who you love and who's a fabulous athletic director, and say, hey, Jeremy, I'm out of here. I'm going to the NBA. You know, are you ready for that? You know, are you ready to look in the eyes of those 18 and 19-year-old young men who you sat in their living room and looked at their parents and them and said, I'm going to be your son's basketball coach, and say, I'm going to the NBA. We didn't ask him any of those questions. We did a great job on the contract. The dollars were awesome. The bonuses were fabulous, right? The terms of the deal were terrific. But what we didn't do is ask the questions that were sort of, you know, at the surface, I think, really in many ways, the most important questions. And, you know, unfortunately, because of that, as he processed it and got kind of over the goal line on that situation, he sort of said, hey, look, I'm not ready for this. Now, I'm super happy for him. Obviously, he's at, you know, Oklahoma City as the head coach of the Thunder, which is awesome. But I think it's just important to have the courage to ask the tough questions, whether you're a coach inside of an opportunity in an interview, whether it's questions to yourself about what you really want, why you really coach, why do you want this other job, why is your brand important to you? All those things I think are important. I think sometimes in life, we, and me included, it's easy to not ask ourselves those tough questions. Mm-hmm. But when we do, I think the level of awareness is enhanced. And with self-awareness, you know, I think really awesome things can happen.
That's really good. I mean, that's good. I mean, because I think as coaches, we're a lot of us, we avoid conflict and we don't want to have those. I know you talked about it was on your end, but as coaches, we avoid those too. Molly, you see a lot of coaches, and now with your girls playing, so you see coaches as a parent, you see them as a fan, as a consultant. What's an area of concern for you right now in the coaching profession as a whole?
Burnout. I mean, burnout. You know, what I worry about with coaches is just sustainability. You know, some of the habits that I see with coaches, to me, it's just not sustainable. And it breaks my heart. I think that energy management is more important for coaches than time management. Creating systems so that as much as they can manage their energy. You know, and we at my company, we do a lot of executive coaching, both with CEO and C-level executives, but also with college coaches and professional coaches, because I think getting really clear on who gets your energy and why and where is incredibly important. I mean, taking care of yourself, right? I mean, it's amazing, though. I've been inside of the coach's world and I've watched it, and the thing that I worry about is you know, there is obviously, as we all know, a tremendous lack of balance. You know, I remember one of my coaches said to me, if you meet a coach that's winning basketball games, then you're meeting a coach without balance. And I think there's a way to create boundaries, and that's what we work with our coaches with.
What is, okay, what's an area that makes you proud? You've been around athletes and athletics for a long time. What's an area, as you work with all these coaches, what's something that makes you proud as you work with these coaches?
Well, I mean, Tom, I could take up your whole afternoon here, but, you know, I have such a tremendous amount of respect for coaches. I mean, they impact lives of young people. You know, at the core, they're educators, they're mentors. You know, they challenge the athletes to improve, not just as an athlete, but as a person. You know, they impart knowledge and wisdom and certainly hard lessons that are incredibly powerful. And the best coaches in the world, to me, never lose sight of that, of the mentor piece, of the education piece, of the fact that being a student athlete is so special. And the opportunity to compete at that level is really special. And the coaches that really help them soak every experience out of it, both on and off the court or the field, is just awesome. But to me, coaches are just the total package, right? I mean, they have the ability to connect. They have the ability to create powerful interpersonal relationships. And then the best, right, get the X's and O's and everything else that's needed to be able to win, which is obviously incredibly important as well.
Molly, as we wind up, what I want to give you a few minutes to do, because I got so much respect for what you do with your company, tell us exactly what your company does and how it could help the listeners, and then how they can get in touch with you, and most importantly, how they can get on your newsletter list, because that's a must read. I think for any coach, it's a must read, whether you're talking about business or whatever. When it comes and it dings in my mailbox, I stop and I read it, because your stuff is that valuable. So just take a few minutes and discuss those things if you could.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I mean, you know, people can learn a lot about what we do by going to the website, right? MollyFletcher.com, M-O-L-L-Y, Fletcher.com. And, you know, there we talk about a lot of the different things that we do. I spend about 60 days a year on the road speaking, both at universities, to administrators and to coaches, and certainly to Fortune 500 and even entrepreneurial startup organizations. But I speak on fearlessness, I speak on leadership, I speak on team development, and then in the corporate space, often on sales. So, you know, there's a lot there. But we also, I think what would be most interesting to the coaches that are listening is we do a tremendous amount of team building with sports teams. So we'll come in oftentimes in the off season or at the beginning of the season, and sometimes we'll have a touch point during the season with programs, and we work with, you know, men's and women's basketball, tennis, softball, volleyball, swimming, I mean, you name it. And, you know, we work with them on, you know, connection, on energy management, on peak performance, really helping understand the differences in personalities in the room is often really important. We worked with a team last week on really understanding the differences and how they receive feedback, how they give feedback, how to manage their energy, how to manage the controllables and uncontrollables that we often find in life, right? So that, to me, is the thing that would resonate the most with coaches. And then we do a lot of executive coaching work with coaches, really on energy management, peak performance, the things that I worry about, right, burnout, and trying to shift that so that these coaches can enjoy a bit of balance while they pursue, you know, their dream of being, you know, just a world-class coach, right? Which is awesome, but I just want to make sure that they can do it for 30 or 40 years if they want to.
And then, again, how can they make sure they can sign up for your newsletter?
Yeah, if they go to the website, MollyFletcher.com, right there on the homepage, there's a button, and they can lock in on it right there, and they can sign up, and I appreciate the plug. We love it. It's a fun way to put out information. We have video content that we lob out to. We have online e-courses, you know, the relationship 3 series of e-courses is really awesome for coaches because obviously, you know, recruiting is a really big part of what coaches wake up and worry about and deal with each and every day. And so we have three courses that really focus on that piece that is on the online individual sign-up sort of section of the website. So again, if they just go to tools on the website, they can see the online courses, and there's some great stuff there as well.
All right, Molly, I'm an SEC guy, and we're in the Deep South, but you are a Sparty, like my mother. You're a Michigan State Spartan alma mater, so tell me how the Spartans are going to do this year.
Hey, I think, look, D'Antonio is a heck of a football coach. He's a wonderful man. He's great, obviously, on the sideline. He's a great coach. He has a good staff. You know, I think they're going to be pretty strong. I mean, they're definitely on the upward trajectory. You know, I mean, it was so fun. I took my girls, three daughters, my husband, we all went to the Rose Bowl. And it's just fun to see them back kind of in the hunt, right? We had a little blip there where we weren't really up there in the talks. And so it's fun to see him continue to climb. I think they'll have a pretty good year. I mean, I really
now,
do.
Now,
and
Molly, you know that in the hunt, in the SEC, that does, you know, you have to be talking championships when we're talking in the SEC. We don't, you know, we don't want to, everybody here wants to win it. So a nice, you know, I see how you dodged that question. Hey, Molly, go ahead.
We want to win it too. I mean, trust me. I mean, you know, the Rose Bowl is like kissing your sister, right? I mean, we obviously want to get in there and be at in a national championship play. But, you know, the one thing that's wonderful about Michigan State is I will say, you know, we do it. I think one of the things that really resonated with me with D'Antonio was at the Rose Bowl when, you know, you've got Bulla, who is a stud, and for whatever reason, they needed to pull him from that game, you know, for sort of kind of off the field stuff. And it was something that D'Antonio didn't have to do, but he did. And I think that's the kind of program that Michigan State runs, right, is they do it the right way. And, you know, I'm proud to be certainly an alumni. And then, of course, we've got a heck of a basketball team. I mean, my client, Tom Izzo, I worked with for a long time. He's a wonderful man and a heck of a basketball coach. And you know, he does things the right way. So I'd like to see both football and basketball in the hunt. And then as a former tennis player there, right, we're supporting the women's tennis team with some team build. We've done, you know, some work with basketball and, of course, volleyball. So, you know, I'm always rooting for those guys as well.
I think everybody cheers for Tom Izzo. Of course, I'm a big fan of his, again, with my mom being there. And I've got some great Izzo stories. I know you do. We're going to save those for during the basketball season, so we'll have to get you back on the air. Again, Molly, I cannot tell you. I know you are super busy and super on the go, but all the best, and we will talk to you again. Thanks so much.
It's an honor, Tom. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to the Coaches Ally Podcast. The Coaches Ally exists to help coaches with their personal brand, advance in their career, and elevate the coaching experience. For more information, go to www.thecoachesally.com. You can also email us at info@thecoachesally.com. That's info@thecoachesally.com. We're here to be your ally in the coaching profession.